Thank you, Brother Grower. Good evening. Brother Grower, I'd feel that same way. Boy, I don't know the first note. I don't know where to start. Sure been good to be able to share the word with you on the Lord's Day. And now again tonight, I thank the leaders of the assembly for having us. And you don't know how much it means to us when we get into the word and study it. It just changed our old thinking. Now tonight, if you have your Bibles, I want you to turn with me to 2 Timothy 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. We value your prayers. We plan to leave, Lord willing, on Friday for 2 weeks, going over to the U.S. And wherever I go, I like to take some tracks, and every opportunity I'd like to witness for the Lord. I look for an opportunity every day and try to give out a track or two or maybe more than that and try to witness. And we never know what that will do until we get to heaven. Maybe be many people there who we don't know, don't realize we've been there yet and just given out a track, just said a word. 2 Timothy chapter 2, begin at verse 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned except to strive lawfully. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Sure, the Lord will bless the reading of his precious word to our hearts. We're going to refer to other verses as we go on. I don't know if you got a good memory, but in December I looked at just the beginning of this portion. I want to finish it up tonight, Lord willing. I'll brief you back to where we left off, and we'll go on from there. Paul's last message. I can't say it was his last words, but I feel pretty confident it was Paul's last message. I say that because he says in the end of the book, chapter 4, 6 and 7, I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. So it does seem that Paul realizes this is the end of his life, and this is his last message. And as Paul realizing that this is his last message, he leaves some important things for the Christian. And tonight we want to look at Paul's last message concerning the Christian life. And at the very end, we want to look at Paul's last message concerning his own life. It'll just be brief at that part of the message, because we won't have time to get into all of that. You know, the Lord Jesus used familiar pictures and subjects to bring out great truths. He used parables and stories, and now Paul does the same thing. As he brings, uses 7 powerful portraits of the Christian life. We want to look at those 7 tonight. We looked at 3 the last time. And we're just going to bring you, review the first 3, and then get on to the other 4. The first one is in verse 1. A son for affection. Thou, therefore, my son. My son, my child. It's a very affectionate term, isn't it? I believe Paul dearly loved Timothy. But you know, that reminds me of our Heavenly Father. How he addresses us and what he has made us, sons, isn't he? Ephesians 2:13 says, "But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Jesus." What a contrast to the verse previous to that. We were aliens. We were strangers. And we were afar off. But tonight, I've been brought nigh by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is what God has done for us. Made us sons of His. We are tonight as near to God as Christ is. Them writer put it right. So nigh, so very nigh to God, I cannot nearer be. For in the person of His Son, I am as near as He. So dear, so very dear to God, I cannot dearer be. For with the love wherewith He loved His Son, such is His love for me and you. A son for affection. Galatians 4:7 says this, "Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son. Then a heir of God through Christ." You know, that touches me. God sent forth His Son that we might be made sons of His. What a gift. What a gift. No more a servant, but a son. And here, all by the grace of God. John picks it up in his epistle, 1 John 3:1. "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God." Oh, what an affection for us. More than we could ever have for a daughter or a son. A soldier for endurance. It's the second one we looked at. That's in verse 3. "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." As a son, he's to be strong. As a soldier, he's to endure hardness. You know, it might mean wounds. It might mean suffering. But remember, God didn't start the war. Satan did. Isaiah 14 tells us that. Ezekiel 28 tells us that. And Paul didn't ask Timothy to do something that he hadn't done. He says, "Timothy, I've endured hardness. Now you endure it with me." 2 Timothy 4:5 says, "But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions." Paul, did I hear you right? Endure afflictions, yes. Because Satan doesn't play games, does he? He puts up the fight. The writer of Hebrews 12:7 says, "If you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? For whom the Lord loveth, he chastens." A son for an affection. A soldier for endurance. Peter says in 1 Peter 2:19, "It is pleasing to God if a man endure grief and suffering wrongly." You know, when we suffer unjustly, Peter says that pleases God. But you might say, "Freddie, how could I do that? How could I, when somebody wrongs me, and I know, you know, it's unjust, how could I endure that and say, and not fight back?" Friend, I can't do it only to follow what the writer to the Hebrews said. On my strength, I can't do it. But Hebrews 12:2 says, "Looking unto Jesus." That's the only way, the author and finisher of our faith. Oh, for the joy that was set before him. Listen, he endured the cross, despite the shame for me and you. And he had the power to do something about it. And he didn't do it. That word looking, I understand, means to look away, to fix our eyes upon, and to gaze at him. That's the only way we could do it. Next verse says, consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. Consider him. He's the greater example. They give a lot of examples in Hebrews chapter 11. It says, but consider him. James says, 1:12. Blessed is the man that endures temptation. James, what you mean? He says, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. See, the soldier that endured temptation one day is going to be rewarded. I don't know what this crown of life is. Probably a fuller enjoyment of the glories of heaven. I don't know. But I think one thing could be sure. Everyone's cup will be full in heaven. But beloved, I believe it's going to be different sized cups. When I think about that, I believe that when I look around in heaven at the judgment seat and I see some of the large cups and my cup is so small, I believe that's when the tears will flow down, when I realized I could have done more for the Lord Jesus. And I believe that's where it says in that verse, God shall wipe away the tears. When we realize we could have done more. How about it tonight? Can't we do more? Are we willing to do more for him? The one who endured so much for me and for you. A son for an affection. A soldier for endurance. An athlete for concentration. And that's in verse 5. If a man strives for masteries, yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully? You see, to win the prize, one must strive, must obey the rules. You can't win, you know. The ones who follow the games, if you don't obey the rules, you can't win. You'll be disqualified, right? I think we'll all agree with that. And to run the race of life, Christian, we can't break God's rules and get away with it. Because God calls the game very close. He calls the fouls very close. How many fall out before the time and are disqualified simply because they did not obey God's word? Says, every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. They do it to obtain a corruptible crown. But oh, us as believers, we do it to obtain an incorruptible crown. In verse 25, Paul changes the figure from running to wrestling. And what he is saying is there must be self-control. If we're going to run with endurance, if we're going to run, we must run with concentration. There must be self-control. There must be self-denial. A wrestler once asked his coach, can I smoke? Can I drink and have a good time and still wrestle? The coach says, yes, you can. But the problem is you can't win. And Christian, we could have a good time. We could get out in the world and do these things and still be saved. But I'll tell you one thing. You can't win. You won't win the crown that day. You won't hear, well done, good and faithful servant. You might hear me say this again tonight, but only those who bear the cross going to win the crown. Fourthly, in verse 6, a farmer for patience. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. The farmer must work to share in the harvest. The athlete, he gets his crown at the end of the race. The farmer, he reaps before the end of the harvest, and he reaps at the end of the harvest. And we as Christians, we are blessed and rewarded here and thereafter. Let me say something, saints. It pays to serve Jesus. It pays to serve him. James 5, it says, be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Be all the husbandmen waited for the precious fruit of the earth, and have long patience for it until you receive the early and latter rain. Be patient means to endure, to be long-tempered, opposed to short-tempered, and oh, how I need that one. But here the farmer, he illustrates the type of patience every believer should have. The plowing, the planting, the caring, the watering, and then the reaping. I don't think any farmer would plant and plow and work at it if he didn't have in mind and harvest to be enjoyed at the end. Morty would never plant a thing down in that farm if he thought that at the end he would not reap. Listen, saints, it's a harvest at the end. We will reap in that day. But we must run with patience. See, we must have patience like the farmer. Because they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. I had to ask myself, how many times have I sowed in tears? How many times have I wept over a person who's going to hell? You know, winners of souls are first weepers for souls. I said, Lord, how many times have I wept? Spurgeon once said, when our hearts are broken with grief at man's sin, we shall break other men's hearts. Oh, that we'd have that desire to see souls saved. See, God guarantees precious tears, precious seed, precious reward. Oh, I trust that we'll be willing to sow those precious tears and precious seeds, knowing one day we're going to have that reward. James says, do it as in sight of the Lord's coming, knowing that that day he will reward you. Keep the coming of the Lord in mind. Beloved, I'll tell you, it'll be worth it all that day. The Amorite could say, it will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life trials will seem so small when we see Christ. Just one glimpse of his dear face, all sorrow will erase. It's going to be worth it all, I'll tell you, when we see Christ. Oh, I trust that we'll be patient like the farmer and working until we see him. A workman for faithfulness, number 5. And that's in verse 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. The command is study. Let me tell you, saints, it's hard work, but it's worth it. Study. It means hard work. The purpose is that you'll be approved. And the results, you won't be ashamed in that day. Ephesians 2 and 10 says, we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. What Paul is saying that we are is masterpiece. The product of the work of God created in Christ Jesus unto good works. You know, we all know that works never saves anyone. But we know that salvation produces works, don't we? We know that. Someone has said a man is not justified by works, but a justified man works. Christian, let me say, there must be evidence. If there's no evidence, it's not much likely you're a Christian tonight. There must be evidence. It's faith alone that saves, and you heard me say it more than once, but a faith that saves is never alone. There must be a change. There must be an evidence. There must be something. We know that works are not the fruit. We know that works are the fruit, but not the root. We are His workmanship. Saints, God is still working on us. I could hardly take that in to know that He's still working on someone like me. You know, we used to sing that chorus, He's still working on me. To make me what I ought to be. How loving and patient He must be. He's still working on me and you. Aren't you glad of that tonight? Aren't you glad? He hasn't given up on us. He hasn't given up on us. You know, in verse 8 it says, by grace are you saved through faith. By grace. It was Christ for us. Because if it had not been for His grace, we could have never been saved. By grace. It was Christ for us through faith. It is Christ in us. And now here, He says, we are created in Christ unto good works. Through, it is now Christ through us. It was Christ for us by grace. Christ in us through faith. And Christ, let me say it back again. It's Christ for us. That's grace. Through faith, that's Christ in us. Unto good works, that's Christ through us. Sixthly, I'm going to go to verse 20, a vessel for service. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and of earth, some to honor, some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use and prepared unto every good work. Christian, let me say tonight, God doesn't play favorites. He is holy. And He cannot use an unholy vessel. As I thought of that, I had to say with the psalmist, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. He cannot and will not use an unholy or an unclean vessel. Meet meaning useful or fit. And prepared meaning equipped. You know, when I think of that, God being willing to use me as a vessel, my mind goes back to where He took me out of the pit. An horrible pit, the psalmist says. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my going, and I put a new song in my mouth. Even praise unto my God. He has brought me up. When I think of that tonight, out of the pit of sin, He has brought me up tonight. But He has not only brought me up. You see, that's not how God works. He says, He has set my feet upon a rock. He has set me up. Brought me up. and set my feet on the rock Christ Jesus, a rock that can never crumble. Not only has he brought me up and has set me up, but he has kept me up since he has established my going. Aren't you glad that we have a God who keeps us, not just saves us tonight? And then he says, he hath put a new song in my mouth. Brought me up, set me up, kept me up, and praise God, he has tuned me up. A new song in my mouth. Saints, that's something to sing about tonight. That's something to praise him for tonight. From sinking sand, he lifted me. With tender hand, he lifted me. From shades of night to plains of light, oh, praise his name. He lifted me. He lifted you. Aren't you glad? Oh, I'm so thankful tonight that he was willing to lift me up. The pit, from where the clay was taken, you and me. But the purpose, why? Says some to honor and some to less honor, as it pleaseth him. 1 Corinthians 12:22 says this. Says those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. That hit me today. That hit me. You know, some members of the body seem to be weaker than others. You take the kidneys and the heart, seems to be weaker than the arms and the legs. But you know, you could live without the arms and the legs, and you can't live without a kidney in your heart. And that said something to me. You know, those who we look at as the weaker ones, sometimes they're the strength of the church. Those who are sitting quietly in the seat tonight and praying for me, they're the ones who probably get the reward. Those who give a word of encouragement. Those who support the Lord's work. Those who are faithful to the meeting every night. They seem to be the weaker ones. But you know what? We can't make it without them. Keep up. Keep it up. Pray. Do your part. Everyone has a part. Whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. That's for the human body, same in the spiritual body of Christ. If one member suffers, we all should sorrow. If one member is honored, we should all rejoice. Should never be jealousy. We looked at the pit. We looked at the purpose why we're taking out the pit. And now the plea, if a man purge himself from these things. 2 Corinthians 7:1 says, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Again, God demands a pure heart and life on the part of those who serve him. Nothing less than that. Seventhly, verse 24. The servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle to all men, apt to teach, and patient. The Lord says, no servant can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one or love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot serve God and the world. It's got to be one or the other. My time is going, so I want to get into the last point. Let me just say this. The Lord in John 12:26 said this. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, listen, him will my Father honor. That's God speaking. You know, two words that stand out to me in all of Scripture, I guess more than any other two, is listen and obey. If Eve and Adam would have done that back in the garden, the world would have never been plunged into sin. But how often, I don't want to listen, and I don't want to obey. I'll tell you, make the greatest difference in your life if you'll listen and obey him. To serve Christ, we must follow him. We must be willing to obey him. I said I wanted to say something about concerning Paul's own life, his last message. And that's what Paul says. I'll repeat it again. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. What a testimony. Oh, I wish that could be my testimony when I come to the end of my life. A good fight fought. And Paul fought a good fight with the devil. In all its ways in trying to destroy Paul. Paul fought a good fight with Satan. Paul fought a good fight with the world. And Paul fought a good fight with the flesh. Paul fought a good fight to all those who try to undermine the truth of God's word. I trust, saints, tonight, that that's the kind of fight that we'll fight until the journey's end. Paul had a good race run. I have finished my course, he says. And Paul's race begun on the Damascus road when he said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And let me say tonight, our race begun. The night or the day we trusted Christ. But you know, Paul never quit. Oh, I trust tonight, and I pray that God will give me that desire never to quit. I trust he'll give all of us that desire. A good race run. Don't quit, saints. It's so much to be done. A good faith kept. Paul was trustworthy with the gospel, wasn't he? Paul didn't compromise. He didn't make any detour. He didn't go for any wind of doctrine. Oh, young men in the assembly, we're getting older now. We must stand true to the word of God. Don't just pick up anything you hear. Get into the book. Stay true to his word. Don't compromise it for nothing. A good faith, Captain. Finally, a good reward anticipated. Paul knew but 2 days. That's all Paul knew today. To be filled with devotedness to God's service. And Paul knew that day when God would reward him openly. He would get that crown of life with which the righteous judge would give him. Saints, I trust tonight. We're like Paul, we only know today to serve him. And we look forward to that day when he will say, well done, good and faithful servant. Father, we thank you tonight for your word. We thank you that it is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. And Father, it is our desire tonight to have that testimony like Paul. I've fought a good fight. I've run a good race. I've kept the faith. I've been true to your word. And Father, it is our desire. We believe all the Christians' desires tonight to hear those words. Well done, good and faithful servant. We know only those that have borne the cross will win the crown. Oh, Father, we pray that we'll strive to win and to get your approval on that coming day. Fathers, with your blessings we pray as we ask these things in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Thank you so much for your attention. And again, I just want to say it's been indeed an honor to be with you. And we still would value your prayers as we leave you. Thank you so much for listening.